And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Fred Shiro, one of the best coaches in National Hockey League history, once said, "We know that hockey is where we live, where we can best meet and overcome pain and wrong and death. Life is just a place where we spend time in between games." And his is an attitude that players and fans of the sport understand all too well, as do our guests in here right now. Patrick Armstrong, the Vice President of Communications for the Central Hockey League's Missouri Mavericks, based right here in Independence, Missouri, and Ryan Jardine, a forward for the Mavericks since the 2010-2011 season. Patrick and Ryan, welcome to Central Standard.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Before we get into the thick of things, we just want to thank the Coach Hillman for letting Ryan join us today. Ryan, you're supposed to be practicing, right?
Actually, the team practiced pretty early this morning, and I'm nursing a bit of an injury right now, so I didn't skate, so I had the day off.
How do you feel?
I feel great.
You feel good?
No, I feel better. The injury's getting better. The just some time off is what you needed, a little healing time, and it'll take its run its course and get out of me as soon as it will.
Now, is the injury in your leg?
No, it's in my chest, my ribs.
Take a mean check?
You know what? I don't even remember how it happened. Like it happened, and I woke up on a Monday morning, and it was really sore, and I don't remember how it happened.
That's hockey for you.
Yeah.
Don't remember how it happened. When will you be back on the ice?
Hopefully, we play next Tuesday. Hopefully, I'll be back by next Tuesday.
Before we start sliding this conversation in like a Zamboni across the ice, Kansas City, we want to know what you think about having a professional hockey team here. Let us know if you've attended some Missouri Mavericks games. We'd like to hear from some Mavericks fans out in the metro area. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also mail in your Maverick musings at centralstandard@kcur.org or post on Facebook or tweet us at KCURCST. We're talking with Missouri Mavericks Vice President of Communications for the Central Hockey League and the Missouri Mavericks, and Ryan Jardine, a forward for the Mavericks, who's going to be back on the ice soon after an injury he doesn't remember how he got. What's the short history lesson here, Patrick Armstrong, of the Mavericks? The inaugural season was 2009 and 10.
You bet. Actually, just yesterday, November 13th, was the three-year anniversary of the day we opened up at Independence Event Center. Short history, team came in about June of 2009, put together the team. We have ownership in Texas. They formerly owned a team in Lubbock, Texas, and moved that franchise to here to Kansas City. Independence Event Center opened up in 2009, and it's been great. The fan support, all of that from day one was outstanding, and we couldn't be more happy where we're at right now, beginning our fourth year.
Was there a built-in demand for hockey in this part of the country?
I think there was. I do. You know, there was some history here. They had the Scouts. They had the Blades. So we heard a lot of that. We heard a lot of people talking about the Blades, and those fans from those days, you know, came over to the Mavericks. So I think there was, but there's still been a lot of educating fans and all the people in Eastern Jackson County of who the Mavericks are, what hockey is. But you can see that it's been growing. We've grown from 7 kids in our youth hockey program, and now we're almost to 300 in our fourth year. So that's pretty good.
Pretty impressive growth indeed. Going far away from Eastern Jackson County, a little north, Ryan, I could hear the Canadian accent just coming out of your mouth. You're a native of Ottawa, Ontario. What's it been like? What was your path to the Missouri Mavericks?
It's a long path, actually. I started playing pro in 2001 in Louisville, Kentucky. And then I went from there to Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, for 2001-2002. And then 2002 to 2005, I played in San Antonio, Texas. And then I went for 5 years to Europe. I was in Hamburg, Germany, Mura, Sweden, Ljubljana, Slovenia, and Bolzano, Italy for 2 years. And then after we were in Italy, we had our first son, my wife and I, and we wanted to stay in North America again because there was a lot more to do for my wife with kids and stuff, and there was no language barrier and all that. So we got a hold of Scott Hillman a couple summers ago, and a friend of mine who was on the team, he helped me out get a hold of him, and came here, and it's been a fun couple years since.
That's a lot of hockey, man. Is this the typical story of a journeyman in professional hockey? Is this pretty typical among
players? I would say,
you know?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of guys who I know around my age that have played and done the same sort of thing. A lot of guys, once they go to Europe, don't come back. But we enjoyed coming back just because it's so fun to come in here and play, and there is a lot to do. It's better in North America, I find, than having a language barrier and stuff.
Patrick, tell us about the Central Hockey League in general. Is it a parallel, smaller league to the NHL? Is it a feeder, minor league situation? Tell us about the Central Hockey League and the character of that league.
You bet. It's minor professional hockey. If you think in terms of baseball, you'd call it AA hockey. There's two AA hockey leagues, the Central Hockey League and the ECHL. There's one AAA league called the American League, and then the NHL, of course. Our league is independent, meaning we don't necessarily have to have affiliations with NHL clubs.
Right.
We do have an affiliation, but it's with an American Hockey League team called the Chicago Wolves, and they are the affiliate of the Vancouver Canucks. We are not directly affiliated with Vancouver, but we do, because of the circumstances in the National Hockey League right now, we have a young player that came from Vancouver that's playing with us this year, just because of those circumstances with the NHL.
And that's an interesting and very timely point that you bring up. Does the NHL lockout have any effect on the CHL other than people wanting to stay fresh from the NHL lockout?
I think for us, where we are in Kansas City, we haven't seen a lot of effect other than I think the player movement, and Ryan, you can maybe speak to this a little bit too. There's been a little bit more of the trickle-down effect because of those players that would be playing in the National Hockey League are now playing in the American Hockey League, which then moves players from the AAA level down to the AA level. So I think the level of play maybe has gone up a little. Ryan, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think basically jobs have been at a premium this year because, you know, there's 30 teams of 20 guys that aren't playing right now. So there's everyone else is trickling down, like Patrick said, and jobs are at a premium, and so the competition's gotten a lot better also.
Is it about just as much about jobs as it is staying fresh on the ice while this is
well, there's
not
a few NHL players in our league right now that I know are trying to stay fresh. There's a lot of guys who've gone over to Europe, and I know just the three that are in our league, and one in Denver and two in Arizona that are I think they're just trying to stay in good shape and in case the lockout ends. And if not, I think they're hockey players and they want to have fun and they want to enjoy the game and they're going out and doing what they love too.
Patrick, another interesting parallel to the Missouri Mavericks and the Central Hockey League is that the Central Hockey League actually just reached its own sort of similar collective bargaining agreement that prevented a lockout by owners or strikes by players. How did that work?
You bet. That's something that they have to negotiate almost on a yearly basis. The NHLPA is for the National Hockey League, but then there's a PHPA, or a Professional Hockey Players Association, and that kind of covers the other leagues within North America, and they are a little bit unique to each league, meaning there's a CHL one, there's an ECHL one, but ultimately it's a PHPA. They had to, they basically made a good faith agreement before and then finally got the agreement signed here in the past couple of days in the CHL, and I think it's been beneficial for both players and owners, at least for the CHL.
We should clarify for our listeners that the PHPA that you refer to is the Professional Hockey Players Association, which is the union for the professional hockey players. How much of a release is it for you, Ryan, to have negotiations done in the league that you're playing in?
Oh, it's great. I mean, it was pretty touch and go for a while there. Like, we were leaving to go to Denver on a Wednesday night, and there was nothing in place, and the union was telling us not to get on the bus and stuff. But we talked to our owners and stuff, and we had some good reassurances that everything was going to go down. And it was a nice relief, like a monkey off all of our backs, to be able to get on with the season and play and not have to worry about all that stuff off the ice.
We got Patrick Armstrong, Vice President of Communication for the Central Hockey League's Missouri Mavericks, based right here in Independence, and Ryan Jardine, a forward on the Mavericks since 2010 and the 2011 season. Kansas City, we want to hear from hockey fans about how they feel about the current lockout, and Missouri Mavericks fans about how they feel about their hometown team. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write in your thoughts, questions, concerns, treatises. I don't know why I said that. CentralStandard@KCUR.org. Don't write a treatise, please. Please. Let's hear from Ken in Lee's Summit. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I'll make a comment, then I have a question for Pat, I think, or Ryan might be able to answer this. I'm from Detroit, longtime Mighty Red Wing fan. Sorry about the lockout. I've been going with my friend season tickets to all the years of the Mavericks since they've been here, about 15 games a year. They're great for families, high level of hockey play. Don't pay $9 or $12 for a beer. It's really a good show they put on. But my question now, who is the highest paid on an annual basis player in the Central Hockey League? And who is the highest paid on an annual basis player on our mighty Missouri Mavericks team, please?
Okay. Patrick, you want to take that? Thank you, Ken, for contributing to the conversation.
Okay.
He put you on ice.
Did. Thank you, Ken. That's a tough one, Ken. I honestly, there's a lot of things that go in, at least for the Missouri Mavericks. Speaking earlier, Kellen Tochkin, the Vancouver Canucks prospect, he is on a contract with the Mavericks, but he only goes against our salary cap to a certain amount. But he also gets paid from the Vancouver Canucks. So I think his signing bonus alone was probably more than some of our players will make this season. So I would say that he might be the one that makes the most money, at least for us this year. Going to Ryan's point, I think this year is a unique year as far as having NHL players in our league. So we have at least three guys that have probably made upwards of $1 million or more. So I'm going to take the easy route on that question, at least for today, and go with those NHL players and then, you know, the NHL draft pick for the Mavericks.
I'm going to bring you back to the medium route, though. What is the average or median salary in the Central Hockey League?
You bet. We have a salary cap, and it's just over $11,000 per week. Per week for our 19 players total. So we have to split up $11,000 a little more than through those 19 players. But the good thing is that we get to house our players. We provide the furnishing in their apartments. We provide those apartments. We provide the cable and the internet. So I think there's a lot of good things that go into that for the players. So they don't have a lot of bills. Ryan probably has a little bit more because he's got a couple kids here with him as opposed to those rookies. But for the most part, we provide where they live and all that, and then they get the salary on top of that.
Do you make a decent living playing for the Central Hockey League?
Yeah, I don't think anybody would do it if they wouldn't. I think obviously you're not in it for the money, but you're doing it because it's the game you love, and you're still trying to take a kick at the can to get called up or do what you can to get to the next level. But I think everyone loves playing, and you're getting paid enough to get by, and it's fun. It's really fun playing hockey in this league, in this town. It's a great town. I've been playing for 13 years, and you don't see fan support like you do here ever in minor pro hockey.
Let's go to Lonnie in Overland Park. Lonnie, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I kind of got into hockey later on in life. I married a Canadian when I was 30, and 5 years later, I have just absolutely fallen in love with the game. My kids are into it. My wife, obviously, being from Medicine Hat, Alberta, is just absolutely into it. We have an in-law who played in the German league for a few years. And, you know, I know a lot of people say they can't follow hockey. They don't understand the rules. They can't even see the puck on TV. But honestly, it's just it's a love of the game. We've been out and seen the Mavericks play quite a few times. And every time it seems to be more and more exciting. The fans are really into it. And we appreciate everything you do.
Thank you very much, Lonnie. And to Lonnie's comment, the Mavericks are a very popular team. If titles are anything to go by, the Missouri Mavericks got Franchise of the Year titles for 2011 and 2012 for their number of regular season sellouts. So that's something to be proud of. Patrick, tell us about that.
You bet. Well, we've been astonished, I think, from day one about our crowd support and our fan support and how people have gravitated to the Mavericks. But we take pride in those Franchise of the Year awards because that's not just off the ice and ticket sales, but it's also on the ice and how the players are doing. That's the kind of best picture award if you equate it to the Grammys or something like that. But I think ultimately we've been amazed, but we work really hard and we know we're growing every year. Our season ticket base is growing every year. But we still know there's a lot of people in Kansas City that probably haven't been to a game, and there's still some people that haven't heard of the Mavericks. So we're trying to get to those people as well, because we know once they come to a game, we think we do a good enough job entertaining them and that they'll hopefully come back.
Now, Ryan, you're a forward for the Missouri Mavericks. What's your style of play like? Are you a bumping skate guy? Are you a finesse guy? Are you the guy that takes off the gloves of center ice and says, let's get it on?
if I take off the gloves at center ice, my wife gets mad at me because I normally get beat up. So I'm not normally that kind of player.
At home or on the ice?
On the ice. But I would say I think my strengths would be I'm a good all-around player. I can fit in a lot of situations and play all three, four positions and play with anybody and sort of play as a role player or a scoring forward. Or I think just a all-around versatile player.
Now this year, Patrick, the Mavericks are off to a 3-5-2 start, slow start, eighth place. How do you get back on track?
I think they're doing the things they need to be doing. If you look at the stats a little bit deeper, they're second or first in shots, four per game, and I think we're second to last in goals per game. So sooner or later, I think those pucks are going to start going in the net. And
that's an interesting juxtaposition.
Yes.
Very high in shot percentage, very low in goal percentage.
Yes, exactly. So I think ultimately those things even out, and we'll start to see that. I don't think anybody's hit the panic button by any means. And they're working hard, though. And I know just watching, coming back on Saturday night, we lost on Friday 7-0, and the team had a really good effort on Saturday night at home and beat the same team that they had just lost to 7-0. They beat them 5-2. And so I think this team, they're made up of the right type of players where they can work hard and come back from, maybe a little adversity from the start here.
7-0 and 5-2, these are some high-scoring hockey games. That's pretty high-scoring for your average hockey game. Is this a run-and-gun or skate-and-gun league?
We don't want it to be. It just happens sometimes, I guess. We don't want that at all. We like to be a strong defensive team, and you always hear the old adage that defense wins championships, and we like to go by that one, I think. And sometimes things don't go our way, and we give up 7 goals, and the next night sometimes they don't go the other team's way, I guess, and we get 5 goals.
What's the team doing to improve the standing this year?
I think we're working hard every day. There's a new system we have in place from the coach that everybody's getting used to. There's also a lot of turnover this year. We have a lot of new players that are getting used to playing new positions and with new guys. And, it's a good thing, I think, almost to go through a little adversity now and not later on in the year to see what we're made of. But we're working hard every day at practice. The new system, we're working on it every day to make sure we get it down pat. And I think once we all get it and know our responsibilities and all that, that things will start to turn around.
There are two factors here in the play that might affect the play, that might affect the structure of the league. It's the constant restructuring of the Central Hockey League. For instance, going from having a Northern and Southern conferences to the Turner and Barry conferences. Turner and Barry, the weird-sounding names, kind of like the Smythe division in the NHL. What does the restructuring of the teams do to the players and the game schedule that might maybe put you out of flux?
Well, I don't know if it does much. To be honest with you, even when we had the conferences, we didn't play a balanced schedule, meaning it wasn't like baseball or football where you play a team a certain amount of times and everybody plays each other equally. But it did affect us as far as playoffs go. And so we were watching more who was in that Turner Conference and how those teams were doing, not as much as the teams in the Barry Conference last year. This year, it's every team for themselves. We've got 10 teams, and it's all one big conference or one big league. So now we have to watch everybody. I think the way it's structured this year, we have 8 teams that make the playoffs out of those 10. So, knock on wood, hopefully we can not be in those last 2 spots.
Natural, inevitable follow-up. Who are Turner and Barry?
Okay, so we had a merger with another league. Turner came from the old IHL league, and that was their championship trophy. Barry was a trophy from the CHL. When those two teams and leagues merged, we made those conferences for those guys.
What do you like about being in the front office of a hockey franchise there, Patrick?
I love it. I love the every day's different. I think that we get to do something that not a lot of people get to do. Everybody wants to work in sports, and it's really fun. It's enjoyable. We have a good staff. We have a good team of people that work hard, and we work together. But working in hockey, I started as an intern. I can't believe this. It was already 10 years ago, and now I'm in my 10th season and playing in hockey. And I love it. I think it's something new every year. Get to meet a lot of new people. You get to travel a little bit with the team. I think it's very unique, skill set that I have learned to have over the 10 years, but also it's a lot of fun.
Now, did you come from a hockey background or love of hockey or more of a desire to get into marketing or business administration? Which one was it?
More the latter. I think I didn't grow up playing. There was a team that I grew up in Colorado and went to college in Colorado, and a team started up right after my senior year of college. And I always wanted to be in sports, and I always wanted to be in marketing or something like that. I knew if I couldn't play sports, I wanted to work in sports. And I got lucky and got an internship with a hockey team, and that's kind of where the love started, I guess.
Whereas, Ryan, you're doing what you've loved probably since you could first walk.
Yeah, up in Canada, I was just telling a story out there to Patrick that, like, everybody just goes to the rink on Saturday morning. That's where you meet your friends. That's where your parents hang out. That's your social aspect of your weekends. Like, I have pictures back home when I was 2 years old with little Bob skates on, which are two-bladed skates, and you just learn to walk in them. And then you progress from there onto normal skates, and then you join hockey and you meet your friends. It's amazing in a small town how much time you spend at a hockey arena.
Do you deal with a lot of turnover in personnel in this league, especially since it's a farm club league for NHL and a feeder league for the AHL and a lot of the affiliate leagues? Do you get a lot of turnover with personnel?
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of turnover. I guess it's like that in any minor pro sports. It's different every year. Some guys retire, some guys are injured the next year, some guys go to lower leagues, some guys go to higher leagues. Some people go to Europe. We lost two or three people this year, I think, went to Europe from our team here last year.
How does that affect team chemistry?
I don't think it does. I think one thing about this team is they do a good job recruiting with they check backgrounds, and they have a lot of people that know people from the past. So they have players that have encountered other players in the past, and they want to make sure that they bring in and good people and good players too. So they want to make sure that the good people are associated with other good people in the community and around the team and stuff like that.
Who's the enforcer on your team?
I don't know. We got a couple of them right now. Riley Emerson's one, and Colt King, I think, would be the other two. Dave Simoes likes to drop the gloves occasionally. He doesn't get the opportunity as often with those other two around, though.
Your wife has been seemingly very supportive of your dreams and your status as a professional hockey player. How does that work?
Yeah, I met her when I was 23, so she's been doing this, I think, for 8 or 9 years now, and she enjoys it. She has a good job in the summer at home that they allow her to come home, and whenever she gets home, she can start working.
Now,
and
home is Ottawa or home is
It's here? A small town just outside Ottawa called Carlton Place. But yeah, so she has a good job there. So in the winter, she's a stay-at-home mom while I'm at the rink and traveling around the country trying to play hockey and make a living. And then in the summers, we roll reverse, and I'm a stay-at-home dad, and she goes to work, and I take the kids all summer.
So you don't have a straight gig when you're not on the ice?
No. Not yet.
That's good.
Yeah.
Lucky man. Very, very, very supportive. What's next for the Missouri Mavericks, marketing-wise, promotions-wise?
Oh, man. We try to do as much as we can. We just had a youth jersey night, I think, upcoming this weekend on Saturday night. We've got a skate with the team after the game for our season ticket holders. So that's always fun. The fans get to come out and get on the ice, and all the kids get to come out and skate with their favorite players and stuff. So that's what we got this weekend. And we got 29 more games and a lot of promotions after that.
The Missouri Mavericks will be playing at home against the Rapid City Rush at the Independence Event Center this Saturday, November 17th at 7 p.m. Tickets are available, and we have a link on our webpage at kcur.org to take you there. Patrick Armstrong, the Vice President of Communications for the Missouri Mavericks, and Ryan Jardine, a forward for the Mavericks hockey team, thank you very much for joining us today here on Central Standard.
Thanks, Jabalani.
Thanks for having us.
Our show is produced by Danny Alexander with help from Matthew Long Middleton. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.